In Business on Radio Kerry with Mary Gallagher, keeping you informed with business matters home and abroad.
You're very welcome to In Business. Mary Gallagher here with you up until 7 o'clock this evening. We have lots on the show. We'll be hearing from the Small Firms Association about the cost of doing business and what they're hoping for in Budget 2023. We'll be hearing all about the World Skills Ireland 2022 event, which is happening next week in the RDS in Dublin, about who it's aimed at and about the Kerry representation there. And we'll also hear about some interesting figures in the EY Future Consumer Index, which shows that consumers are looking more at affordability over sustainability. So all of that and more between now and seven. But we're going to start this evening with a very interesting story. Jason P. Rothberg is from LA, but has been living in Kenmare for the last number of years and is a member of the RDI Hub in Killorglin. Now, he has more than 30 years experience working in music, film and television in the US. And he, along with two others, have formed a company called Zavatar. And the other two people involved are augmented reality and virtual reality guru Gianfranco Bianchi and media mogul Kevin Sharpley. And this company, Zavatar, creates avatars. So if you're not quite sure what an avatar is, for those of you that are online, you might see people using an animated version of themselves, a cartoon type character, as a profile picture, perhaps on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever app they are using. That is what an avatar is. Well, this company has created real-time reactionary ones that you can use when you're using the likes of Zoom or other online video platforms. And the company has grown a lot of different legs out of it, and it all started here in Kerry, which is a fantastic story. And the company is going on to create at least 20 jobs this year and even more next year. And they're currently recruiting from a number of colleges, including MTU Kerry. Well, earlier I spoke to Jason P. Rothberg about all of this, and I started by asking him to explain to us what Zavatar does.
First off, thank you for having me and shedding a light on Zavatar. It's really an exciting new concept and new type of business that was born here in Kenmare, Kerry. And we create real-time reactionary avatars. So our avatars, they're universally native, customizable, they're NFT embedded. What does all that mean, right? It's just so confusing, all these terms and what they can do. Customizable, meaning that you can upgrade your Zavatar to have more animation, to look a little different, to represent your personality and characteristics. You could change your clothing and, you know, your wardrobe and accessories, your backdrop. But most exciting to me is the fact that it's universally native. That means that you're able to use your avatar on any video teleconferencing communications, FaceTime, Zoom, Teams, Google Hangout. And that was really the essence of where this idea came from, because personally, I don't enjoy that Zoom experience. I don't want to be in front of the camera. It's, you know, not my comfort zone. In my career, I've always been behind the artist, behind the camera, behind the mixing board. Out front of the camera, it's just not an interest. So now that we've gone through this pandemic situation and the world has shifted onto a video telecoms, I needed to come up with a solution. And that's when I thought I needed avatars specifically for Zooms and webinars and these different opportunities I'm being invited to participate in. And that's when I reached out to one of the three partners, Gianfranco Bianchi, who in my mind is one of his generation's greatest artists, but he's also incredibly tech savvy. And he and our third partner, Kevin Sharpley, have been doing Web3 type productions for many years before we knew what the term Web3 or metaverse was. That includes augmented reality, taking animation to that next immersive step. When I called up Gianfranco, he, out of the three partners, he does less talking. He's all about action. I dropped the idea on him because we have been developing an animated film for the last umpteen years. I knew he had certain skills. Without even question, he's like, yeah, no problem, Jason, I'll do it. Well, I got 4 weeks until this panel, so I don't want to miss cans. Literally the week before, he delivered our first prototype, which worked perfectly. And I went into this webinar, and trust me, there was much bigger producers and directors on this panel than me, but they spent the first 12 minutes of a 50-minute panel talking about this avatar. And then, oh my gosh, my Instagram DMs blew up. Love the avatar. Where do I get one? I want one. I want one. And I was like, gee, I think we have a business. Let's pull in Kevin. Now, Kevin Sharpley is an award-winning filmmaker. He's a marketing expert, but he's also a really savvy business guy. So between the three of us, there's not much we can't accomplish when we put our heads together. And we just started gaining momentum for this concept very, very quickly. Got accepted into some really high-level accelerators and became part of New Frontiers. Joined RDI Hub, met RDI Hub through HubStart, which was another early startup stage accelerator. But as this momentum's growing, I had another project on the side called the Sync Report. And this was basically a community I was building that united independent filmmakers with independent songwriters and musicians. The point of that was these filmmakers that I was meeting at, because I'm a filmmaker and a music supervisor, been in that industry for a long time, so I know quite a few, and I see films all the time where the story, the acting, the cinematography, again, at these budgets, I mean, what these people are creating is mind-blowing, but the music always kills the film. And, you know, so it's something I always ask my directors and producers, and it's like, why? What's going on? And so the big disconnect was, A, they don't have the money to go to a Sony or Universal and license music for, you know, properly. They don't have the relationships with the labels or the artist to try to negotiate a step deal or something that's a little bit easier to digest financially for the production side. And so they just kind of use whatever's local, whatever solution they could find, and slap music in. On the flip side, you have all these amazing songwriters. I mean, literally thousands and thousands and thousands of amazing talent out there that aren't signed to a record label, don't have a publisher, nobody's repping them for syncs, and they're just trying to figure out how to get their first IMDb credit and how to get on the radar. So it just seemed like, all right, well, this could be a great way for us to solve this. So we use this app in the early days called Clubhouse. And in fact, we still do. Every Sunday, we host a listening session where the audience submits music based on briefs, real film and TV productions that we circulate to our community. Then they send us music that they feel fits. And then we have a panel of experts listen to the music, give their production notes, and the best songs end up going to the directors and music supervisors to get placed. And so that started growing. And Zavatar is growing. All of a sudden, a friend of mine from LA is like, hey, man, I'm working at a podcast company. I love what you're doing with the Sync Report. Let's turn it into a podcast. So we kind of step it up and, you know, create more of a format where there's this team banter in the beginning, because one of my best friends helped me start this thing. My producer, Paula Flack, who was one of the marketing directors for EMI for 20 years. And she's just an incredible, incredible workaholic, legendary producer, marketing brain. So we kind of all sat down together and said, okay, what we're going to do is we'll start off with some team banter. Then we're going to interview industry luminaries, famous actors, musicians, directors, music supervisors, anybody who has a narrative that, you know, falls within film, TV, and music. And then we end the show with these sync opportunities. And one of the guests that we brought in, you know, we had brought in Steve Vai, legend guitar player. We did like the Godfathers of Punk with Glenn Matlock from the Sex Pistols, Rat Scabies from The Damned, Derwood Andrews from Gen X, Reeve Carney, who was Spider-Man on Broadway and most recently was in House of Gucci, Charlotte Church, most angelic voice, Welsh singer, multi-platinum. And one of the other guests was a film producer named Rose Ganguza. I know Rose because I've been hawking her since the beginning of the pandemic. I just wanted to work for her. I wanted to be a music supervisor on one of her films. And so we kind of built a friendly rapport. And of course, with the pandemic, her productions had kind of slowed down, if not fully paused. And I'm like, Rose, come on my show and talk to me. You have such an interesting story. She's a Columbia graduate, but she's done so many things, from managing Pele to producing some of the, you know, films. I could start mentioning films and you would see them all. And she's like, great, okay, why not? I'll come on and kill an hour. By the time she left our room, she called me up and said, Jason, this is really special. I want to be a part of it. And at that time, I was hosting the show on my own. I'm like, Rose, be a host with me. You're a natural. You're a genius. This will be fun together. And by the third show, and she's like bringing in huge name talent into what we're doing because she's well connected. She said, Jason, I have a friend. She's going to call you. Be nice and listen to what she has to say. I'm like, yeah, okay, no problem. Well, this person worked for a company that's an aggregator for Apple TV. They wanted to turn our little podcast into a TV series. It was a non-starter for me because, again, I suffer from a severe anxiety of being on camera. And there's no way I'm going to put myself in a position to be in a TV series. I have no aspirations for that. But then it was that light bulb moment because the Zavatar technology starts growing. We had brought in this brilliant, really the guru of SFX for Hollywood, Dean Lyon, and you would see some of his work from Lord of the Rings, Armageddon. I mean, literally, I think 200 major films and TV shows. He was the guy responsible for the visual effects. And he has been working in AI, artificial intelligence, and ML, machine learning, for 20-something years. He's the world's leader in avatars and holograms. And so he was a natural fit as a CTO for us. Between him and Gene Franco and Kevin, who's quite the visionary when it comes to Web3 and Metaverse, the technology just exploded. And I remember talking to Kevin going, Kev, I think our technology, we could do real-time animation. Wouldn't that be a game changer for the studios and documentaries and TV? You know, this is just a total game changer financially as well. And more importantly, the time consumption to turn around animation. And that's when we're like, okay, we've got it. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to turn the Sync Report into an animated TV series and use that as the marketing driver of our avatars and the proof of concept of how the technology works. Honestly, I didn't have big aspirations that it would actually be turned into a TV show. Although we had this interest from Apple, it just economically wasn't viable. The deal itself wasn't viable for us. So we just started pumping our own money and time and talent into creating little like promos and sneak peaks and just to, you know, have them part of these different accelerators to show our growth and hopefully to put in front of investors and VCs so they could actually see where we were going. Because like so many people, most of us don't know what an NFT is. Most of us have never explored the metaverse. A lot of us don't know even what the phrase Web3 means. So there's a huge educational curve when it comes to financing a company like this if you're going those traditional routes. And then we brought in my friend Jackie Martling, who is a world-class comedian and writer. In fact, he was the head writer and one of the characters on a very famous, infamous radio show turned TV show in America, The Howard Stern Show. And I had built a very good friendship with Jackie, and I wanted Jackie to come in and be a character in the show and do writing with us. So he got involved. All of us were bringing our friends, industry friends, in to be interviewed. And one of the guests that Jackie brought in was a gentleman by the name of John Malkin. And John is an executive at Ovation TV, but more so for these early moments, he's an incredible musician. He has an incredible history, work history inside the entertainment sector. And he has a very successful podcast where he interviews very famous musicians as they're drinking beer from like different indie beer companies and rating the beer. It's humorous, but it's a brilliant show. So we brought John in and did a pre-interview. And when I do my pre-interviews with the guests, I use my Zavatar because we do it over Zoom. So this way they can actually see how the technology works, what the animation's going to look like. And he was just asking all these interesting questions from a perspective, not from a guest, but like about the business. And between you and I and our listeners, I knew very little about Ovation. I thought it was, at best, maybe another distribution platform for content. But no, it's actually, it's a big network in America, 56 million homes through North America, 300 million screens online. I mean, it's a major cable network. And he was asking these questions because they were looking to do some original programming for the network. One thing leads to another, and next thing I know, we have an offer from Ovation to license the first 14 episodes of the series. Yeah, it's just been a mind-blowing, you know, when you something happens in your life and it's just completely, you know, cosmic, you know, everything's growing organically. Yeah, you know, my team, my partners, you know, we're all talented, we all have great relationships, and that has definitely helped to expedite what we're doing, but the stars have lined up for this project. These things just seem to be coming to our door. It's been incredible.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. As you say, it's all kind of grown organically. And as you mentioned there, Ovation TV has issued this contract to license the first 14 episodes of the animated version of The Sync Report. And from that, it's going to create some jobs.
I mean, this is what's really exciting. You know, we've had such incredible support, starting off with the local Kerry Leo, social welfare, and then moving into the accelerators and the RDI hub. I can't say enough about the RDI hub. Oh my goodness, that was a stroke of luck falling into their lap. But now to see this kind of evolving where we're going to be able to give back to the community. So we're currently staffing up, mostly looking for illustrators, animators, and gamers, game creation for the metaverse. But we're also looking for Irish writers, Irish music songwriters for the sync opportunities. We brought in a legal assistant to work with the law firm. We're bringing in a general manager. And yeah, you know, we should be hiring close to 20 by the end of 2023, and then moving that number up to 50 employees 2023.
And you're working with MTU Kerry, along with a number of other colleges, to source some of those people.
MTU has been wonderful. We've actually had some interns from the university there, and we're quite tied in with the film side of that university. And they continue to support us and give us love. I became friends with the librarian at UCC. Cronin is just an incredible human being. And you would imagine a guy that's a librarian would have a wealth of knowledge, but you wouldn't expect for it to like penetrate film. Oh, I should say film if I'm here in Ireland. Film, TV, and music, the way this guy just gets it. I mean, he probably knows more about music than I do. And I've, you know, been consuming music since I was, I think, you know, before anything, I was listening to music, enjoying music before I could even speak or walk, or, you know, very funny early stories of me and music when I was young. But Cronin has been phenomenal with connecting me with some of the professors and academics at UCC, which now have turned us on to some amazing students that are applying for the positions. And then obviously our time spent at Trinity College has opened up doors. But really, my hat comes off to Brian O'Malley, who is becoming one of my dear, dear friends and works for Enterprise Ireland. You think of Enterprise Ireland, or at least I was early on, like as a place for money, but they're so much more than that. They really help nurture entrepreneurs and startups. And Brian has gone so well beyond the call of duty, connecting us with all the right players, being it SkillNet or Animation Ireland, Screen Ireland, several different universities that major in animation and gaming. It's been incredible. I could have never have moved to a country and had this type of rapid growth planting our roots in foreign territory without that level of support.
It's great, and especially here in Kerry, we're great for networking. You mentioned the accelerator programs there. You were in Trinity College and UCC, I believe. Are you planning to start the New Frontiers Phase 2 in MTU in September or this month?
That's correct. September 19th is our first day in Phase 2 of New Frontiers. I'm very much looking forward to it. It is kind of bringing me back to my college days. And really, you know, more about balancing the schedule of this, because not only are we doing that one, but we've just been accepted into two other high-profile accelerators, one in India, one in America. So it's really monumental when these organizations spot something special in what we're doing and then encourage us, help us develop the tools, and then furthermore, make the introductions to whether it's potential investors or strategic partnerships or, like we were talking about, you know, potential employees.
It does sound like a completely different world and a new world for a lot of people. Before we finish up, I just want to just ask you about the Zavatar avatars. You know, a lot of people will be familiar with avatars, you know, on the likes of Facebook and different things like that. With your avatars, you mentioned this term earlier, they're NFT embedded. So basically it means it's unique and it's linked to an individual person, is that right?
That's exactly correct. So, you know, that term catfishing, nobody will be able to be your Zavatar. It's linked to you. And because of the artificial intelligence facial recognition that we use to capture your image to make your Zavatar, nobody can become that. It is unique to you. This is one of the protective measures that we're doing inside of our metaverse, which we call the Zataverse. And it's all part of policing the Zataverse. We feel a responsibility, unlike Facebook and Twitter, for example, where it's rampant with verbal violence. Well, our playground will not put up with any of that. So we are building mechanisms to prevent verbal violence so that anybody of any age can access the platform without feeling insecure or under attack. But if I could tell you, we're doing the series of collectible celebrity NFTs, and we launched the first one with our host, Colin O'Donoghue. So we're now going to be hosting an event September 15th, next week, in Dublin at the Button Factory, where we have some of the amazing Irish talent that has been part of the show in the past, Patty Casey and Stephanie Rainey, who I absolutely adore. I think she's one of the great talents I've met in many, many years. We'll be performing live, but this is really a gathering for those that bought the NFTs. And because we've actually, with our first release, have hit profit, we're making a donation, because we also have a very charitable approach to what we're doing. 30% of the revenue from the NFTs goes to charity. 20% goes to the Climate Institute to help offset the carbon footprint. And then the other 10 is chosen by the featured celebrity. And Colin chose So Sad, which is a suicide prevention mental health charity here in Ireland. I think this might be one of my most prideful elements of what we're doing right now, the fact that at this stage, we're already donating money to charity. So we've had a big oversized checks created, and we're going to do the whole presentation at the show. And
it certainly sounds like there's a huge amount going on at the moment. Jason, we are going to have to leave it there. But for people who are interested, be there somebody who's listening who would like to get involved and maybe try and work for your business or is interested in buying a Zavatar, how can they get more information? Where's the best place to go?
By next week, the new website will be up. But you can go to Zavatar, Xavatar.co. And from there, at the moment, it's like a porthole. You know, it'll bring you to the Sync Report website where you can see all about the NFTs and what's happening there. At this moment, you can't get a Zavatar unless you buy an NFT, because the app isn't available, but it will be available spring of next year. And then that's when the metaverse, everything will open up to the entire public. And we're on every social media platform. If somebody wants to reach out to me for potential work, they can find me on LinkedIn very easy.
Well, look, Jason, thanks so much for joining us and telling us all about this amazing company and all the different offshoots from it, something that was grown here in Kerry. And look, continued success to you all.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Jason P. Rothberg there, who is based in Kenmare and a member of the RDI Hub in Killorglin, telling us about that fantastic business that has grown out of Kerry.